Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Tuesday, the 9th of August. Very nice to have you with us on this day. Hello. I'm sorry, what's going on?
Well, I was explaining to Selma that one of our board members didn't get an invitation.
Is she listening to the show?
Well, I doubt it.
Okay. Do you have her on the phone?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. You were dictating into the thing?
No, I had her on the phone, but I don't have her now.
Inside glance at how WAMC operates.
TMI.
Yeah. All right. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to the panel discussion. It's very nice to have you with us. We have a great group. Let me introduce you to them, and we'll get started. And if Soma would like to call in, please, you're welcome. Please do that. All right. Also a reminder that you can join us today. All you have to do is write us an email, panel@wamc.org, and we would, in most cases.
Or just barge right in.
Yeah, or barge right in. Yeah. That's right. Just barge right in is another way of doing it. Okay, well, a busy day. We've got a lot going on. Jim wrote me a note this morning and said that he and his wife were talking and said, oh, there doesn't seem much to talk about tomorrow. And then an hour passed and boom! off we are to the races. So we'll get started. Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
How are you?
we have a couple more people to talk to if you want to make a phone call.
You know.
Jim Henler is here. Jim is the Tetherless World Professor of Computer, Web, and Cognitive Sciences at RPI and Director of the RPI-IBM Artificial Intelligence Research Collaboration. Jim, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Joe. I'm good.
Good to have you here.
Nice weather. It was a good day.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah.
Could have got hot later. But.
Yes. But we'll take it while we got it. Former Times Union Associate Editor Mike Spain is with us. Mike, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here.
Would you like to introduce your special guest today?
Yes, I have a special guest. My oldest granddaughter, Josie Benton, is sitting next to me, and she is heading off to college in a couple of weeks, so she's up from New York City for a visit, and we're delighted to have her. And she's very interested in public affairs and current events.
And she's going to read, right?
Well, take care of that.
Good to be here.
It's very nice. It's very nice to have you here. So, are you? All right. So, here are the things that I want to ask you / tell you. One is, what college are you going to?
Reed College.
Oh, Reed College. And what do you have an idea of what your major will be or your path?
Potentially political science, but I'm undecided at the moment.
Yeah, that's understanding.
Stick with it, kid.
And in a dream world, like, the job would be what?
Oh, I don't.
President. Supreme Court Justice. Come on.
President of the United States.
There you go. Yeah, you I'm going to vote for you.
She'll run your campaign.
Communications part, yes.
Be great.
There's something you should know about your grandfather that I don't know if you know this or not, but everyone in this room adores this man because he's the nicest, greatest, most reliable guy in the world. He's been on the show since the very beginning, and there's nothing you can ask him that he will not either be able to know off the top of his head or be able to Google it very quickly.
And the latter more often.
And it's more than a little, and he's a great, great friend, and so you're lucky to have him as a grandfather, and we're lucky to have him as a friend, so...
I agree with all of that.
Yeah,
that's
smart,
so sweet.
Smart move. You'll get regular checks there at Reed College, I'm sure. Well, congratulations. If you want to jump in on anything and share your opinions on anything that we talk about, just raise your hand, or better yet, just grab the microphone from Rosemary.
Try it. Just try it. I bite.
We have some Mercurochrome for the... Do they still have Mercurochrome?
They don't. I want it. I tried looking for it the other day.
But there is iodine, right?
There is iodine, but there's no Mercurochrome.
All right.
Or castor oil that I
get. Yeah, Mercurochrome was this awful red stuff that they put on cuts that was supposed to...
It actually looked like blood, so you'd put it on and your wound looked much worse than it was
hurt,
originally.
It stung like
stung like a bastard. Yeah.
Can you say that?
It's not one of the seven words.
And he did not say, he did not use the B word. He said dastard.
Yeah.
It's dastardly.
It's dastardly. Well, welcome. We're delighted to have you here, and thank you very much. And just so you know, you're the youngest by about 50 years. Okay. Rosemary Armeo is here. She is an investigative journalist. She is an adjunct professor at RPI, and we are thrilled to have her with us on this
Thank Tuesday. You. I actually can cede my microphone to our guest because I have only one thing to say that will summarize my entire feelings for today, and it is this. Lock him up.
It is... Yeah, there's some good stuff there.
Yeah.
All right.
I enjoyed the news last night.
Well, it was.
Cable was great.
All right. So let's get going and start talking about that news. We welcome your input as well. Panel at WAMC.org. Panel at WAMC.org. And we would love to hear from you. We do ask because I am expecting a lot of letters today. Although we ask this every day, that you keep your letters short and to the point, and we would like to hear from you. All right, let's go to what is happening. Of course, the big news is the FBI raiding Mar-a-Lago yesterday. There are so many fascinating things about this story. The story happened for the better part of the day yesterday, meaning the raiding of Mar-a-Lago. Now, Mar-a-Lago is the winter home of the president. I didn't know this, but apparently he's moved back into Trump Tower in New York during the summer months. He summers in New York City because...
Because it's so cool?
The weather's so much more conducive, yes. So he's in New York, so he was not on property at Mar-a-Lago when this happened.
I do regret that. I wish he had been there.
Yeah. So, but it was while the Justice Department and the FBI will not announce as to what they're doing or who they're doing it to, it was ultimately the president who put out a lengthy rambling statement that confirmed the fact that the FBI was indeed at Mar-a-Lago and was going into his, office and living quarters to bring back this cache of information. Yes. I was going to say documents, but I think there was also stuff too, right? There's actual objects that I think they're looking for as well. So Trump, former President Donald Trump, said on Monday that the FBI had searched his Palm Beach, Florida home and had broken open a safe, an account signaling a major escalation in the various investigations into the final stages of his presidency. Now, at the time, early when the story broke, there were two possibilities. One, that this came from as part of the investigation into the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol, or the fact that the archives, the U.S. archives, was pressing on a case that classified important information had been removed and had gone to... Mar-a-Lago. They earlier in the year they were able to retrieve some of that, but there was some information that they knew was still missing, and they went to go get it yesterday. 13 boxes, am I right on that? 13 boxes of information that they were looking for. On top of that, not only as if that were not fun enough, this also comes at a time when Maggie Haberman, who has a book coming out, started to circulate photos that were originally published on Axios and have been confirmed that the president had a penchant for ripping up documents and throwing them into the toilet. Now, why, after you do that, you then take a picture of it, I don't know. But imagine our surprise here in upstate New York when the names that appear to be on the toilet memos, Elise Stefanik. How cool. So you begin to wonder then if last night I was watching CNN, Stephanie Grisham, the former White House press secretary, was on, and she said, "Well, yeah, it was regular. He would either tear things up, put them in his pocket, burn them, or flush them down the toilet." Okay, well, there you go. The search, according to multiple people familiar with the investigation, appeared to be focused on material that Mr. Trump had brought to him with Mar-a-Lago, his private club and residence, when he left the White House. Those boxes contained many pages of classified documents. So then the idea that some of the speculation, and then I'll turn this over to the panel, some of the speculation was, of course, that the president was the one who, while the FBI and the Justice Department would not confirm this, that the reason that the president was confirming this was because that he was losing some support among Democrats Republicans and Republicans that were close to him, and that by doing this, this would bring them back on his team of this horrible thing that they were out to get him, and this was part of the great witch hunt.
Now, Joe, just for the sake of clarity, and I know you're a very clear man, you keep referring to the president. In this case, the president you're referring to is
Donald Trump, but president still once
it's
and
a,
always
it's a courtesy
president.
Title that yeah. a former president gets.
Yeah. Yeah. Just because I want to make sure everybody understands which president we're talking about.
Yes, so President Trump, the 45th president of the United States. I know that because he has that on the back of his embroidered on the back of his hats. Okay, Alan, you first.
What do you want?
Well, this is a talk show where I bring up a title, like a topic, and then I ask you for your opinion.
Okay, here's my opinion.
And then other people offer their opinion, and
usually Rosemary goes second. But I do want to say that this is not good for Donald Trump. This makes him look even worse than usual. There's been a lot of speculation as to who the vice presidential candidate, you know, might be, and the congresswoman from the North Country has been raised as a potential person to run for vice president. And so when her name starts to come up in all of this, it really does ring a lot of bells for me, because, you know, she's a woman and she's relatively young, and that may be what they have in mind.
And different direction than I would have gone in. Okay. I'm completely amazed that this happened. It is an extraordinary step that a federal judge acceded to a request from the Department of Justice that says there's evidence of a probable crime in the home of an ex-president. It's never happened before. Makes us look like a third world country. And yet, wouldn't it be worse if that evidence were allowed to just go and he goes unaccounted for? So this extraordinary step is taken. And the reaction of the Republicans is not as it was in Watergate, saying, okay, guy, this is serious. Step down, admit it, get out. Instead, they double down, and you have the probable Speaker of the House saying we need to investigate the Department of Justice. The right-wing talking points are all centered on, oh, our poor ex-president is being persecuted while Hunter Biden has not been touched. Hunter Biden also is under federal investigation, and the left, by the way, does not care if he's charged or arrested. First of all, we don't really punish white-collar crime criminals, so even if he's guilty, nothing's going to happen to him. Trump. But anyway, even so, that's the way it's supposed to happen. And now it's happening to Donald Trump. My big worry is that this is all really about a relatively minor crime. I say minor in comparison to the other things Trump is accused and is likely to have done, that he took documents he should not have out of the White House. That is a felony, I understand it, but it's minuscule compared to the enormity of other things. And the only thing that will help is if in the documents that they have taken, they have seized, is information, evidence that can be used in the Georgia probe, in the probe New York is doing on his business in January 6th. All of that is usable. Why would he have kept it? A man who burns, flushes, and rips. Why would he keep anything incriminating?
I think that should go up on the wall. Burns.
And I want to see the letter from Kim Jong-un.
Crushes and rips.
Now, can it not, though, my understanding of you saying very low level, that perhaps it isn't, which is why it rose
it
to...
It isn't what?
Meaning that...
There's more to it?
There's more to it, and it's more important. Well, I don't know.
I mean, it's a violation of a federal law that came in after Nixon did the same thing.
All I'm saying is that to bring it to the level of what you're talking about for the Justice Department to take this extraordinary action, maybe there is more there than we know there to be.
Yeah,
that was my only point.
I don't want to be a conspiracy.
Roll your eyes, I know. Okay, go ahead.
I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but the archivists have already pointed out that he had top secret documents, which is a crime. I mean, they didn't need this raid to prove that. My belief is either there's some missing documents among those that they're specifically looking for.
Correct.
There's some document where, if you understand the classification system, there are some that are really significant and serious. So, for example, I would be very surprised if there's not something in Russia involved in this, because we know Trump and Russia have had that.
Yeah.
So there's got to be something more than just the 1 or 2 years.
We'll take a break. We'll continue right after this.
Destiny.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion, of course, talking about the FBI search of Mar-a-Lago that took place yesterday. Also, listening to the music of Olivia Newton-John, who died yesterday, born in 1948 and was certainly had a long bout with breast cancer, and we lost her yesterday. We'll remember her later in the program, and of course we'll also remember the great historian David McCullough, who was, I think, one of the best, the absolute best.
Amazing writer.
And looking at so many aspects of our history, and we'll remember him this morning as well. In the meantime, we will talk about what is happening in the current world, and we're trying to make sense of what is going on. Jim, I unfortunately had to cut you off as we were going into the break. Is there anything else you wanted to add on to your statement?
Well, I was just saying, Joe, you know, the prevailing wisdom is either they must have had something, because to get the DOJ, FBI, the federal courts, you know, it's more than just removal of classified documents, because we've known about that for months. So one questions what that is. But
well,
on the other hand,
it would have been leaked by now what they were looking for.
I don't know. It seems like, well, you know, that was one of the things that's come up in some of the stories I've read is,
how,
you know, how tightly this must
was.
Have been kept.
Yeah.
But the other side is arguing that, and including some in the middle, that, you know, sort of if nothing comes of this, this will prove to be the biggest mistake ever made, because, you know, sort of that'll make him president. So it's really Merrick Garland, we all know, is not a gambler, is not a political actor. He would have acted long ago if he was really.
I think we should.
Something's going on here.
I think we should remember that Donald Trump has uttered, whether he has formally said it, but he's uttered the fact that he's going to run for president another time. And if that's the case, a lot of what's happening now should be examined in that context, from both the Democratic side and the Republican side.
The one interesting thing about the law on taking records you're not supposed to as an ex-president is if found guilty, you cannot run again.
Right. That's a clause in the federal statute that if you're found guilty of mishandling archives, and this would include what what is alleged here, you forfeit your right to run for public office.
Have we seen that? Yeah. Have we seen another case in which has this been?
No, it was put in after Nixon.
Watergate.
Nixon.
Well,
Watergate.
So actually, though, it was there was a lot of legal discussion about it during the Hillary Clinton email quote scandal unquote.
Oh, that's true.
And it actually turns out that it would go to the Supreme Court because the Constitution says here are the rules by which someone can be made ineligible or, you know, by which they can run. And there's an argument over whether Congress has the right to pass a law that would change.
Okay, well, here's the deal. Yeah. Anything involving Trump is going to end up in the Supreme Court. Anything.
And how will that turn out?
6-3, I think.
Yeah. 6-3.
I could see some of them going 5-4.
We found out about it. I mean, they kept it under wraps. And obviously, Garland had to sign off on it. But there's strong evidence that even the White House was not briefed on it. And
Nor should they be.
Yeah, and nor should they be. Good point, Joe. But we found out about it from Trump. That let him define it and get out in front of the story, calling it an illegal search, et cetera, et cetera. His minions are mouthing those terms. And, you know, it appeals to a certain sub-segment of the Trump supporters, you know, who, you know, hate all government agencies like the FBI, the IRS, you know, the FDA, the tobacco firearms units. And they are a small group, but it does kind of feed that fury that goes on that all the government revenuers are bad, and it will get him some sympathy.
And in contrast, the Democrats are not capitalizing on it. Chuck Schumer was on Rachel Maddow, perfect venue to say something, and he goes, none of us know anything, we're not going to say anything. Would not even comment on Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah, that is atrocious.
Democrats are so hapless.
How come?
Because this is a horrible thing that had happened. He could have said something like, either way, the country loses. You know, this is why we want democratic rule to restore correct governance. This should not be happening one way or the other. We lost.
But doesn't that convict somebody without justice?
Exactly. Yeah. He could have talked about how outrageous it is that Kevin McCarthy is speaking out as he has, warning Merrick Garland, clear your calendar because you're going to be coming talking to us before he even knows what's in there. Schumer could have said, I could write out 18 things he could have said without hurting the rights of Donald Trump. And instead, because he was so focused on saying, oh, we have this great new bill, that's all he wanted to talk about, he missed an opportunity. So typical of the Democrats. And I swore I wasn't going to mock Democrats anymore because they have enough bad stuff going against them, and they really are doing a remarkable job despite it all. But I was just horrified by how he bungled that.
Notably, Mitch McConnell has been silent, at least as of a little while ago.
Yep. I would look for him.
And I think that will define where the institutional Republicans stand on this.
So why do you think that is, Mike?
I think he just can't bring himself to be like Kevin McCarthy, and nor does he need to.
No.
And he sees the mistake of coming out and sort of buying the line. And he, you know, remember, after the second impeachment, where he basically handed it to Trump and wouldn't let the full evidence be presented in the Senate. But after that impeachment, he came out and lambasted Trump and said that the election clearly was won by Joe Biden and trashed the big lie and everything. And it hasn't said a word since.
Having your cake and eating it, too. And now it's choking him.
Yeah. Yeah. And I shed no tear.
No.
All right. Let's go to letters. We have many, many, many. So we welcome yours as well. Panel at WAMC.org. Suzanne says, I remember hearing a year or so ago that Trump was flashing documents around Mar-a-Lago just showing off. Assuming that's true, has anyone else heard of this? That alone has to amount to misuse of classified material. This felony is comparatively a simple one compared to all the other possibilities. Maybe it's like getting Al Capone on taxes, but we'll take it, says Suzanne. The flashing.
Wait. So when somebody writes to us and says, I remember hearing about this somewhere, has anybody else heard about it? Where did you hear about it? In the New York Times? I mean, this is always something.
I don't recall this.
What'd you say?
I don't recall this, but it doesn't sound out of the realm of possibility.
Well, wasn't that the one early in the campaign where he was like bringing, where he had the football and he was letting people in Mar-a-Lago like take selfies with the football? You remember all this?
Yeah.
Wow.
So the football is part of the National Archives?
Well, and there were that well, apparently
because it was a gift.
There were other things that he was like passing around for people to take for selfies when they came into as the
was
club.
Was he charging them for the selfies?
Well, nobody was charging them
extra
to join the club.
Fees.
Yeah,
yeah,
to get into the event that he was at. Let's see. We go to
And I do note that his first announcement of the raid of Mar-a-Lago was on his fundraising site.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, this is
well,
this
sure
is
it
how
makes
this
sense.
Man, well,
those
this is how this man thinks.
Most likely to kick in.
I know. Unbelievable.
But what can we do? We libs have knocked him off of Twitter. He has no other outlets.
Yep.
Tom writes, like Rosemary, I too am worried that the FBI raid will be a relatively minor crime. Let's not forget that Trump has spent a lifetime building the perfect team of lawyers, accountants, and other
correct.
Assorted flunkies whose sole purpose is to keep him from being prosecuted. By the way, I found it quite amusing that he called the raid a siege and referred to it as an occupation. Typical that the law and order president still feels the law doesn't apply to him.
Well, and interestingly, so after watching MSNBC for a while, I decided to watch Fox for a while,
oh,
just to
I
be
did
fair.
Too, yes.
And oh, the coverage on Fox was all of the words were raid, occupation, break in. I mean, the idea that this was actually like included a search warrant and was legal did get mentioned by one or two of their.
Did you hear Hunter Biden's name at all when you were watching Fox?
They actually there wasn't a lot.
Yeah.
Let me just say I didn't watch it for too long.
Elise Stefanik put a press release out about 4 minutes later, and it was filled with Hunter Biden references. So,
but I will tell you, I've been reading the.
And then we flushed
it. It's so stupid. You didn't have to raid Hunter Biden's house. He left his laptop in a repair shop.
Right. I went into some of the parts of the internet, which I always dread
the dark
going into.
Internet.
And, no, it's not the dark internet. It's the, you know, when Malcolm's on the show, he always talks about the forums where.
Oh, right. Yeah, the shady internet.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because it's not secret.
Yeah,
stuff.
But you
these
two
are
the only
who,
ones that go on it.
Well, we're
in the interest of journalists.
Yeah, the only ones who can go on
and
it.
And all I can say is I can't read most of these on the air, but is there a lot of calling for. Hanging, shooting.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you know, this is really
Shani, hanging and shooting who?
Of, well, they're not.
Us.
The libs.
This is how you fight a tyranny. You show the public that tyrants would rather declare martial law than listen to the people.
Okay.
I'm just looking for one that doesn't have four-letter words in it. It's in the process of going hot.
About a cold civil war.
They've been saying
mentioned.
The cold. Yeah, so not a doomer, but it certainly feels like they're treating it as a hot civil war. When this is all said and done, the people responsible for these tyrannical actions need to be hanged and memorialized with statues of loafers and high heels cast in bronze in their hometowns.
That's because they're so elitist.
I have no idea
loafers
what the shoe thing is.
A fetish?
I'm looking. Does anybody have loafers on? Nobody.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. We'll welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. We'll be right back. I know there are songs like this in every generation, but in my generation of growing up in the 80s, 1983, 1984, 1985, you could not go for 4 minutes without hearing that song. No matter where you went, you were going to hear that song. And at some point you thought, I've heard it enough, and then it sort of went away for a little while, and then when it came back, you're like, oh, that's kind of nice.
It really helped sweet. The spandex industry, I
that's
believe.
Right. Yes.
I have a question, if I may, and that is there anybody in this room who thinks that Donald Trump really risks going to jail?
Nope.
will really risk going to jail?
No, risk going to jail.
Oh, that there's any risk that he would go to jail. Hmm. I think there's a chance
this
that...
This is a spandex question. Go ahead.
Yeah, I will stretch that a little bit and say that I think... my opinion is that it's very possible, and it may not happen, it's very possible that Donald Trump will end up pleading guilty to some crime when you look at the New York Attorney General civil cases, when you look at the very, very active grand jury going on in Atlanta about his interference with the 2020 election. And, you know, as Dr. Richardson from Boston College said a couple of times, in her daily writings, don't mess with archivists.
well, that is the best part of this story as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Because I mean, somebody made the Al Capone reference earlier. But if it's a group of pissed off librarians that bring down this guy, oh, how lovely that would be.
I agree.
It's, you know, he's been found guilty of other crimes. His university was a fraud.
He still did not go to jail.
The question is, go to jail. No way.
Yeah, I don't think
no
that.
Way.
I think he'll I mean, the worst case I can see for him is that he ends up pleading to something. A felony that keeps him from running. And then he runs anyway.
And they
let the Supreme Court.
Exactly. I'm with Jim on that.
I mean, he has apparently told that to aides, that no matter, like, the worst that could happen is the best thing that could happen for him as far as running it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're talking about
him,
aren't we?
And he's got 40% of the vote he needs right there.
Right. Yeah. All right. We have many letters. We'll go back to those. And we go to Pat, who says, please stop using the simpleton Trump language. It wasn't a raid. They executed a search warrant.
Exactly.
True.
Oh, come on. We call it a raid for anybody else. If it were a mafia guy, if it were, it's a raid.
Giuliani.
It's an FBI raid. That doesn't mean it's illegal. Siege is going too far. Occupation is ridiculous. But it was a raid.
You are so smart.
I think all the boxes of documents that Trump took to Florida was meant to be bait for the FBI, says Kristen. And the deep state, so that Donald could complain about it and he could keep MAGA world stirred up. What he wants is unrest.
I think that's overthinking it.
Well, I think you can do both, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's also...
Wait, do you give that any credibility at all? I don't know that I heard you correctly there.
Well, I mean, you can do that. You can bring the stuff and have the bait for the MAGA crowd, but you can still take the information that you want and keep it away from other people. I mean, it's like the best of both worlds. You either keep it and you have it and you keep it away from the people you don't want to see it, or if they do see it, then you say, look, they're after me, and how unfair that is, and stir up the base.
Now, Jim, you were speculating during the break about what some of these documents might be, how serious they might be.
So, anybody who has a clearance above a certain level, right, signs a piece of paper that says, if I take any of this stuff and treat it wrong, I can go to jail for 3 years. I've signed that paper 6 or 7 times in my life.
Well, that's 18 years for you.
Let's see the papers.
I have been very careful to not remove them.
Tell us about those documents.
But the key point is, okay, so then there's levels above and above and above and above, right? These things can be anything from, I mean, some of them, you read them and you're like, I just read this in the New York Times last week. Why the heck is this classified? Other of these are things that reveal sources and things. So that's usually what we talk about, sources and collection. In other words, we don't want people who we're getting information from to know how we're getting it. But the president then gets a level of stuff with daily briefings and things like that that get into what's going on with other leaders, what's happening, you know. But, I mean, it includes everything. I mean, you know, by now they've changed the codes on the nuclear codes. But, again, having old codes can help you establish things. I'm not guessing that's what he took, but what I'm saying is the president has access to stuff at such a high level of clearance. The other thing is the president can make the decision unilaterally to declare something unclassified. So the fact that some of these documents he took are classified imply that they were taken after the election. Even though he's still a sitting president, he didn't do the action needed to declassify them. So there's just a lot of complexities here. That
it was a busy time.
It's just hard to believe.
I mean, January 20th was a busy day.
You got so much to pack up. Yeah. You don't know whether you're leaving. You don't know.
He thought he was going to stay.
So the key to me is this. If you'll forgive me for being serious on such a cheerful day, is okay. So when the archivists indexed what were in the boxes that they recovered.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it was like 100-page index documents. And it included silly things, you know, cocktail napkins and things like that. But they also had 3 pages where the index was classified. That means even what the names of the documents are were at a top secret level.
That was a big New York Times story. Even the titles of what's missing cannot be shown to the public.
Right. And so therefore, we've known that he took out documents that were classified. So you didn't need this raid to do it. You didn't need, you know, I have to believe they were looking for something specific or something more. If it's about the classified documents, then probably when they went through that index, they're saying, you know, something is missing here that we really care about. Or that could be a crime. It still may be the same felony, but that may be what makes it serious enough that they're
pursue.
Willing to take a chance. Well, because Merrick Garland isn't going to just do this over the fact that,
right.
Particularly Merrick Garland, you know, who has not exactly distinguished himself.
I mean, the seriousness of this seemed to come in the former archivists that were talking about this. So there would be no way that a search warrant would come out from the Justice Department just because you have volume 1, volume 2, volume 4, volume 5, and you need volume 3. And you don't even know what's in volume 3. Like, they're not going to go for that unless they know what's in volume 3 and they need what's in volume 3. And that would have to be at such a serious and important level to trigger them to go to the Justice Department and say, we need this back.
I hope that if nothing else, this action will stop all of the criticism of Merrick Garland. He has now taken action bolder than any attorney general in history. So,
well, was that a shot? Because I don't particularly agree with that. You know, no. I think when Garland could have been a lot more forceful than he has.
He could have been faster. I don't know that he could be
well,
more faster, forceful.
I think
he has constructed and has been building since January 6th, has been constructing an ironclad case. And he told us what he was going to do. He was going to start at the bottom and work his way up, and everybody involved would be looked at. And I think that's exactly what he's done.
I
wish
you
were on the Supreme Court.
Let's go to Ronald, who says, many people are saying the FBI Mar-a-Lago raid was just a normal tourist visit.
I like that.
Yay, great letter.
Sean says, the Libs and Dems are just giddy, but remember November when the Republicans take over the Senate and the House, the Biden dynasty will be investigated heavily, and the pictures of Joe Biden and Hunter in China with big contractors will come out in... And remember, it's the economy, stupid. It's the economy. That's what your president said.
Can I talk about that for a minute? Because is that still true? Do we still feel the same way? The Republicans have been pounding the economy. But we had an amazing jobs report. Beyond everyone's wildest dreams. We have the lowest unemployment in history. Gas prices are steadily and continually declining. Inflation is not under control, but many steps have been taken. The Democrats have passed historic landmark legislation. This has been a highly successful presidency. Despite the fact that y'all think he's, you on the right, think he's all demented.
Well, wait a second here. You can't have it both ways.
Why
not?
Yes, I can. No, I mean, the fact of the matter is, if people don't perceive it as a highly successful presidency, there's an issue.
But that's what I'm saying. Are they? The legislation got passed. It isn't even through the House yet. Mm-hmm. It just happened. And we still have a ways to go before the election.
The signing will be next week, probably. Yeah. They'll pass it for, the House will pass it Friday.
And we've always said no one pays attention to elections until September. We got a ways to go. It's squeaky, but I think that that blanket statement that, oh, when the Republicans take over, I think that's less likely now than it was 2 weeks ago.
You and most of the people who are looking at this coming election.
So the data, the data geeks have now moved the Senate to likely Democrat. Remaining in Democratic control,
right.
But the House, they still are saying you're probably 80-20.
80-20
take the
geeks.
Probability.
Yeah.
The probability of the House becomes Republican.
It does. 80-20.
80-20.
If you have to have only one House, better it be the Senate. You get a lot more done with the Senate in your control. I just want him to have more than this non-margin of victory that they have now.
Right.
And by the way, I don't believe it. I think that the House is going to go Democratic. The Senate's going to go Democratic.
I would love you to be right,
August
Alan,
9th at 10 a.m. That is your prediction, Alan. We'll
want to put your money on the table.
But being a pessimist, being a pessimist and realist, it'll take some convincing.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will continue. Much more to discuss. We welcome your letters. Panel@WAMC.org. Panel@WAMC.org. We'll be right back. You know, every once in a while, my headphone cable seems like a dog leash, and you put it on, and then you put the headphones on, and your head just yanks right into your computer, and it's not comfortable. But there you go. Good morning,
today you're
everybody.
Getting all the inside stories. At the
no, that's
round
true.
Table.
I hide nothing. Listening to
how's
Olivia.
How's the rash?
Oh, thank you for asking. It's doing quite well, actually. Yeah, much better. Yeah.
I caught it.
Yeah. Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Oh.
I had to go to the doctor the other day.
Have you guys?
No.
No, we have not touched.
No one
people. Oh.
Again, I just want to say, again, you do not give a hypochondriac some sort of weird rash and then talk about monkeypox. it's impossible not to. Anyway. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Very nice to have you with us. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Jim Henler, Mike Spain. We're thrilled to have you with us. We have a lot of letters, and we want to get to those. We've been talking about the raid, if you will, the raid at Mar-a-Lago that took place on yesterday, all day yesterday, several hours, a very long
raid
process. So we go to Caroline, who says, well, what's in that safe? Trump specifically mentioned that they broke into a safe. What was in there and there was that he was so worried about? Was it the classified documents or something else? That's true. We would not know that they broke into the safe, if they broke into the safe, unless he told us they broke into the safe.
Right. He defines what gets talked about, and now we're talking about the very specific things he alleged. He was told, his people were told during a previous visit by the National Archives to padlock some doors. And I just wonder if they had to pull open a padlock and that morphed into a safe. I don't know. You know, there could be exaggerations going on here, do you think?
Not from Donald Trump,
no.
Please. So precise.
We go to Deanne, who says, I think the media has contributed to the negative impressions about Biden. So often I see and hear critical comments about him and always saying how unpopular he is. It seems like they're pushing that narrative, even the liberal media.
Yeah, that's true. I've been hounded by my liberal children that I have a platform here on WAMC and I don't use it to tout the successes of the Democrats recently.
But that's true. I mean, we could go off on a tangent. I don't mean to. But isn't the simplistic way that the news media covers it, the whole success and failures of the Biden administration, it's like a horse race. It's just like an election. It's like a horse race rather than looking at it more broadly. And that's because the public doesn't have an appetite for complicated, nuanced stories.
We don't tell it really well, too. We tell news like stories. And so you have to have a beginning. And our story is, oh, the Democrats are not getting along. And so now you see this amazing legislative accomplishment. And the story now is suddenly the Democrats are getting along. What happened? Well, it wasn't a big change. It wasn't like they weren't getting along before and now they are. It was we didn't tell the story right in the beginning.
Right.
We didn't have a frame to tell the story correctly.
Let's go to this letter from Carlene. Trump may benefit from the FBI raid. Contributions from supporters are pouring in, according to the Times. Seems to always be the way, right, yep, with one of these things. Hi again. Okay. they were just saying hi. Why wouldn't Trump just destroy the documents? Why bother to hold on to them? I don't get that.
We asked that about Nixon, too, if you recall. Why did he not destroy the tapes?
Yeah, well, I think because they know they've done the index. Jim was talking about how many pages of index, 130 pages of indexing of these documents. They know he has them. If they disappear, that'll be incriminating.
So here,
and it's also, you made the point, Mike, before that some of these documents he may well have kept because he could sell them, and he's definitely entrepreneurial.
Right, the letter from Kim Jong-un, he probably could sell on eBay for quite a bit.
Yeah, and he would you could put the together with her hat. With Melania's hat. Remember when she put that up for sale?
Yeah, non-fungible, whatever it was. We need Jim to explain those things. Yeah.
Todd said, why would, so this is a answer to the question that we were asking earlier. Todd, or at least a thought, Todd said, why would he keep documents in the safe if not for bait? If they were incriminating, he would have destroyed them. Do you imagine that he enjoys resending them? He doesn't read, or that they are dirt on his enemies. So now what? I think we have been played.
You know, it reminds me of those stories that came out in some of the books during halfway through his administration where he hated the daily briefings. He didn't pay attention. He didn't look at the 20 piles of documents they put in front of the president every day. He had no appetite for any kind of detail on anything. So it does make it weird that he would hold on to these documents. Maybe he just figures in his old age he'll catch up and read some of the stuff he never read. I don't know.
The last president, Mike, who read everything was Carter, obviously. Right?
Well, Obama.
Well, Obama may have.
But we know about Carter.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, my history has not judged him as a very successful president.
You know, again, I'm guessing like everyone else is, knowing absolutely nothing. But Trump's, polite way to say it, Trump's thing that he cares about a lot has been the whole Russia thing, right? I would not be surprised if some of the keeping the documents is paranoia that they don't get out. Some of it may be stuff that has to do with, you know, we know there are these missing transcripts of his discussions with Putin. You know, whether any of that stuff would amount to federal crimes, I don't know. But, you know, it just strikes me that, again,
or it would hurt him politically too. I mean, if there was a nice note from Vlad thanking him for doing whatever you did that helped us.
Yeah, you're right. It may be far worse than that.
That's
I've always
saying.
Thought
there
that
could
the
be
potential
some kind of deal or
for
something.
Real collusion there is
that is no collusion. Strange. Didn't you ever hear that term? What? No collusion.
Yeah. Well, I can. You know, I mean, so I can imagine there's something in there about Ukraine. I can imagine there's something. I mean, but the problem is, you know, on one of the TV shows last night, am I allowed to talk about the Rachel Maddow show? I think I am.
Yes. Yeah. Sure. What
I was going to say, I loved her opening, which was, she said, because this was before the document thing came out, she said, here are the 16 different things that they may have raided over. I mean, these are all the charges pending and things. I forget what the exact number was, but, you know, now it's focusing on the documents and everyone's talking about that. But again, they're tied to all these other things also. So the search warrant, you know, allows you to go in and look for certain things. But then if you find other things,
you're allowed to take them.
They can be used.
They can be taken and used.
And so, you know, it's vaguely conceivable that there's some of that.
About 120 lawyers were on TV last night assuring us of that. Oh, yeah, they could take everything.
So I don't know. But you know, the other thing is, So usually when these things happen, these FBI raid, excuse me, these FBI incursions of tourism, there's a lot of time that goes by before. I mean, they just took 15 boxes or however many boxes of stuff. They're going to have to go through that. They're going to have to be looking for stuff. It's, you know, nothing's going to come of this in the next day, 2 days, 10 days, right?
Although, so, you know, when they seize this kind of stuff, you know, 16 guys go in, and then all of a sudden one agent yells, "Here it is." Maybe. Don't you see? They knew what they were looking for.
Paula writes, what do you think of the loaded responses from Kevin McCarthy and Trump's minions like the Oath Keepers and Proud Boys? They worry about the judge who signed the warrant. Do you think the judge will receive federal protection? Then we go to this from Robert. It is a day of jubilation. Is there not a statute that forbids running for office if convicted the stealing, removal, or destruction of archival government documents? We discussed that. There is.
There
but
is.
You have to prove it first, right?
Well, and it may or may not hold up
right.
constitutionally.
But it would take so long, though. It would certainly be a blow to his reelection effort.
And hopes.
Do you? That's interesting that you raise it. I've mm-hmm. tried to talk about this a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He has said he's going to run again.
Yeah. How this affects his timing on announcing or his decision whether he'll run at all is really interesting to me.
Do you think it could accelerate his announcement?
That I do, because he's, you know, this is his style, deny, double down, push back, and he was going to say, I'm running again. Then he's not simply an ex-president, but he's a
candidate.
Yeah. Which should
afford
him double
protection. But wouldn't that mean he has to admit that he lost the last election, because he wouldn't be allowed to run again if he won the last election?
No, he's been rallying about this, Jim, saying, I've won two elections. I won the second one bigger than the first.
Yeah.
Now it looks because of those libs, I got to do it again.
Well, remember, you can only be president twice.
Yeah, but he wasn't allowed to do it the second time.
Yeah, I mean, he sort of accepts that.
Sorry, I'm just
he left the presidency and went to Mar-a-Lago reluctantly.
You're just teasing.
With a lot of paperwork. Well,
we're just bantering because we're happy. This is like the first good news in so long.
But has it changed? I mean, can this guy be reelected now any more than he could have when he left?
Yes.
My bet is that this will hurt him. I think it's been death by a thousand cuts, his candidacy, you know, and January 6th was one cut after another. The exposure he's getting on a lot of other issues in New York and Atlanta are going to contribute, and now this is more cuts. And I think that's just going to tear his potential for candidacy apart.
I hope you're right. I'm horrified that he has as much support as he does. It should be that at this point, his candidacy would be more of a joke than the first time.
We're still seeing a very mixed message in the primaries. Yes. The candidates he backs have done very well in some places.
Well, I think it depends on the fealty the other Republicans pay to him, or whether they stand up and stay apart from him.
In that case, he's solid.
Well, no, the governor.
Exactly right, Rosemary.
The Republican candidate for the governor of Wisconsin, who got Trump's endorsement, won't deny the election of Joe Biden.
Yeah, but that's like Youngkin. Yeah. That's like Youngkin. He touted his support from Trump, but he didn't make a big deal about it because he wanted to get all Republicans.
But I think that's a moving away, and I think the moving away continues, and it erodes Trump's own standing.
Boy, I hope you're right. Well, I'm not seeing it.
When you say I hope you're right, means I think you're wrong.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
Really?
Thank you, Alan. You say
well,
that.
Well,
they found
where
me out.
I do think it matters is, okay, one, if, God forbid, Trump is running again in 24, it's going to come down to the same things that happened last time. It's going to come down to the independents, and it's going to come down to the turnout. Right. I think the Supreme Court stuff has been pushing up potential Democratic turnout. This could push up.
There's one
but you don't think
different.
Trump can win. You don't think Trump can win, do you?
I'll tell you honestly, I think Trump could win if the Democrats don't put up somebody.
There's one big thing that's different in 24 than 20, and that is all the election law changes you have seen across
the
country. It doesn't matter if he wins. He will be declared
the winner.
But if
the turnout in spite of it is there, that could affect it. I think the biggest factor is that Joe Biden will be 81 years old. And why, that's a ripe old age, I agree.
It's a perfect age.
It's a perfect age.
77.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. We're talking 77, 81. That is, if,
well,
if
he'll be
79.
Trump will be 79 then. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not following what's going on here.
We've saying got two old men running, so it shouldn't make a difference.
The 81-year-old in the room wants to know what's...
Well, where I was going with that is...
You're too slow. You got to keep up.
That... what?
Just nod off. We'll call you later.
I mean, Jim, you're the data guy, but recent surveys of Democrats show that their support for Joe Biden running for a second term is rapidly waning, and the number one cited reason is his age.
Maureen Dowd did it this weekend.
Yes. Yeah.
You did great job, Joe. Go home.
Which I think is so stupid.
I do, too.
Yeah, I do, too. I think that, well, I mean, it
I'm
undermines him in a way that you can't even imagine.
Well, I don't know what people expected. You know?
Right.
If you hire somebody and they're 80, and you hire them for a 4-year job, guess what? Well, you know, if they live, they're going to be 84 by the time they're done.
Right.
What do you expect?
That's always how they picked popes. You know.
You know. Yeah. One of the things about this show that is always interesting to me is there's a difference between being in the room and listening on the radio, of course. And I saw a very interesting. It was probably too long ago now. Look between Rosemary and Joe. Who were
because I was trying to say something, and everybody was trying to say something.
I get
it. Sensed my frustration and was calming me down before I ripped out a microphone.
Oh, I get it now.
Okay, that's perfect. All.
Let's see, we have time, so we'll go to these letters. Diane says, I listen every day. Great show. I find it hard to believe that Merrick Garland and a judge would issue a search warrant on a former president, hanging it all on just the National Archives. Say so. Everyone saying this is unprecedented. They're right. But so was January 6th. The president who attempted a violent coup to overturn a free and fair election was also unprecedented. I think any Republicans who are speaking out like Kevin McCarthy are going to regret it. Thank you. And thank you for all of the Olivia Newton-John songs. Rest in peace. It's a great point, though. We know we keep on saying it's unprecedented that you have a search warrant on a former president. This has never been done in the history of our country. Well, yeah, we never had a raid of the Capitol building either.
And we never had a president who we thought was trying to illegally take over the government. I mean, which I certainly think was happening with Trump.
The other thing you hear is that only banana republics go after political opponents, and now we've become one of those. But the truth is that in banana republics, elites like Trump get away with unusual crime with impunity, and we can't be that either and be a nation of laws.
Will says he is a flight risk. He will go into exile before he is arrested unless he is physically prevented from doing so.
Where does Will think that Trump would escape
Brazil,
to?
Brazil, North Korea, Hungary.
As far as I'm concerned, that would be the best thing that could happen. It would
solve
our political issues.
I agree.
Unless he runs from there, and that seems very difficult.
Well, I have friends who are still hoping for a McDonald's attack. You know, that would just put us out of our misery. We'd get rid of him in a natural, in quotes,
way. I don't know
what
you're talking about.
You mean a cardiovascular
or cardiovascular.
A sudden cardiovascular event?
I'm not going to wish for anybody's death on the radio.
I suddenly saw Grimace and the Hamburglar going after them.
Send me Twitters. Yeah.
Let's see. We go to this one from someone that I don't know. We'll say Mark. War in Ukraine, Gaza, unprecedented heat, wildfires, people living on the street, neo-Nazis, on and on. What's more important, Trump, the clown, or the issues above?
Trump.
And why do you say that, Rosemary?
Because it's the future of democracy. It's the way we're going to conduct our government in the future.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. And it's new. This is a new event. News is something that is unprecedented, that has never happened before. Troubling Gaza. Oh, sorry. We've heard that before. Climate is ongoing. All of those issues have been and will be covered again in the future. Today is about Trump.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, as my news editor speaking. Don't you agree?
Yeah, no, it's the complaint everybody has. They say, why didn't you cover more of this? Why don't you cover more of this? Well, the story today is what happened at Mar-a-Lago yesterday.
Although, and while that's true, the frustration to me is This would have been such a good day to be discussing the good news for the Democrats.
Oh, I know. I know. Talking more about the climate change.
Biden is signing the CHIPS Act today, which is going to be great for New York.
We will do it when the Reduction Act, the Inflation Reduction Act, gets passed by the House.
Yeah, no, but I agree with you.
But I mean, he's giving a talk today at noon, not on Mar-a-Lago, on CHIPS Act. CHIPS Act is going to be the best thing that's happened to upstate.
That's proof that Merrick Garland does not play politics at all, because having that... That raid yesterday really stepped all over the good news that Democrats would benefit from today. And if he was playing politics, he would have delayed it.
This feels like the continuation of the endless cycle of the huge expectation raising about possible Trump consequences that amount to very little. Let's lower expectations to the result can, for once, actually feel significant. Doug says, how about the FBI raiding Trump Tower next? And whatever happened to the vault or of info that the owner of the National Enquirer was holding on Donald Trump and others? Where is that? The libs and Democrats are just giddy, says Sean. But remember, November, when the Republicans take over the Senate and the House, the Biden dynasty will be investigated heavily.
You got a dollar?
Or a version of that. I think that's a common thread. I mean, you said this already, Rosemary, but I think it's worth underscoring. For Kevin McCarthy to tell the Attorney General to clear his calendar because you're going to be coming to the Hill and being investigated.
Explaining yourself.
Yeah. I mean, that's an appalling threat.
Although that would be kind of fun, because I'd love to see him
I'm sure Merrick Garland could do it.
Oh, no, no, no.
I'd
love to say, so in other words,
spell it all out.
You want me to come tell you what it said in that warrant? I'll tell you what it said.
Right. It could be another Hillary on Benghazi. I feel the same way about Hunter Biden. You want to investigate. No problem with that. What McCarthy did was not attack.
I know.
He defended Trump. But what he really did was attack democratic institutions.
Exactly.
This is how we operate when someone is suspected of a crime. And that means it applies to Donald Trump, too.
Everyone else.
Yeah, worth saying it was unlike what was going on 48 years ago when Democrats and Republicans stood side by side and made it clear to Richard Nixon if he didn't quit, they were going to throw him out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But we're a long way from that now.
We are indeed.
Mark writes, Trump is a president in the anti-American tradition of Jefferson Davis. Call him ex-president if you must, but he does not deserve any courtesy titles at all. We'll take a break. We must take a break, and we'll be back right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning, a lively panel discussion, and we welcome you, panel at WAMC.org. Josie Benton is here, Mike's granddaughter. Josie, what do you think of all this?
It's good, but it also proves what we've been seeing for a long time, that there are a lot of institutional problems, and it feels like it's a good thing, but it also feels like it's a trick, so I don't know. I don't really want to trust this good news.
Yeah.
Can we get her as a regular?
Yes, absolutely.
We don't need Mike.
We'll work with your agent, Mike, and figure that out. You like watching the show?
Yeah.
Are you in awe of your grandfather?
Definitely.
Yeah. Excellent.
The right answer, of course.
Definitely.
No, I mean.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad. And we're going to move on to another subject. I don't know. We have a lot of letters, but they're...
The census.
A little repressed.
The census of the people who killed the black.
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay.
Aubrey is.
I didn't realize you were doing requests now.
Yes, I am. Could we please do that one?
That's fine. I just didn't know what you were doing. That's all right. So let's go to that. Fine. We say the. Ahmaud Arbery killings, two, and the Arbery case sentence again to life in prison. Third man gets 35 years. Before the three men convicted of murdering Ahmaud Arbery were sentenced on Monday on federal hate crime charges, they asked a judge to consider not only the length of the sentences, but also the location, with one lawyer arguing that if her client went straight to Georgia's dangerous state prison system, he would be subject to vigilante justice. The men did not get what they asked for. U.S. District Court Judge Lisa Wood said that she had neither the authority nor the inclination to send the three white men to federal prison in lieu of the Georgia prison system, where safety issues are so dire that they are the subject of an investigation by the Civil Rights Division of the United States Justice Department. Judge Wood said the men would go to state prison first because they were first prosecuted for murder by state authorities. At the same time, the judge handed down severe sentences to the men for their federal charges, which included the hate crime charge of interference with rights and attempted kidnapping. Rosemary.
Okay, this story interests me. They deserve whatever they get. I'm very glad that they were found guilty and given very, very harsh sentences. However, I think their lawyer made a point that going to prison should not mean your possible death. And yet our prisons are in such terrible condition that you can't be guaranteed that it's not really a death penalty to go into a prison. That's kind of horrifying.
And that race plays such a big part in what you've just said.
Yeah. These are white men who killed a black man. They're going to Georgia.
And are there a lot of black people in Georgia prisons,
you think?
Yeah.
So because of justice being skewed
there.
And
a lot of white supremacists.
Yeah. But do you remember, who was the guy who was killing people and he ate them all, was up in...
Jeffrey Dahmer,
okay. At the time he was sent to prison, he was the most famous criminal in America. It was like Olivia Newton-John in her day. You couldn't get away from Dahmer stories, right? And he goes into prison.
That's right. Olivia Newton-John was like a
cannibal. Jeffrey Dahmer, yeah. Let's get physical. Let's eat it. And then he ends up dead. He's killed in prison. They couldn't protect the most famous prisoner in the country. That is an indictment of our prison system. And so totally aside from the horrible thing they did, this is immaterial. Their case does point up something. Georgia needs to clean up its act. America needs to do something about its prisons. First of all, they need to be opened up for reporting. They're shut down because nobody wants you to see what's going on in there. And maybe we don't have sympathy for prisons. Should we have sympathy for cannibals and vigilantes? I love that the vigilantes are afraid of vigilantes. But it's still an institutional failure.
Absolutely.
Mike?
No, I think that underscores the really very, very sad statistics that we imprison more people than any other Western country, in any other civilized country proportionally. And it's a failure. It's a failure of our society. And you know, we look at them as penal institutions to punish people, not institutions to do anything to rehabilitate people. Far too little goes into that, and so many lives are wasted.
You know, I think there's actually the Supreme Court cases, landmark cases, are frequently built on really disgusting defendants, and this is another example. But I think they have a constitutional case that this is cruel and unusual punishment. And illegal under the Constitution.
And the Supreme Court is going to follow.
No, they won't. Because they're going to. They're too busy like pulling back civil rights and rights for women.
Right.
Anyone else on that topic? All right.
Thank you for indulging me.
No problem. Anyone else have a request?
Chips. Let's have Jim talk about why do you think this is such an important measure that they took, and why were Republicans against it?
This is the good news on a roll that any president would relish. Is it a turning point? Is the question that the New York Times asks. Biden arrived at Air Force One on Monday with a jaunty step, a playful manner, and a huge grin. Feeling great, he declared. He meant physically, having finally ended his lengthy bout with COVID-19, but he could have been talking about his presidency writ large. Mr. Biden has emerged from medical isolation to a new political world. Suddenly, the administration that could not get anything right, that could not catch a break, was on a roll that any president would relish. Major legislation cruising to passage, at least some economic indicators heading in the right direction, and the world's most wanted terrorist killed after a two-decade manhunt.
And, of course, we're talking about Trump. but, you know, okay, so let's do the CHIPS Act one, because I think that's very important, because it was a bipartisan act. And the reason is because it really, one of the things that was revealed by COVID and all this talk about supply chains, inflation, and things like that, is that a lot of our manufacturing, your ability to buy a car
is the stupid little microchips that come in inside things, right? And you'd think they must be all over the place. They must be easy. They're manufactured in a very small number of fabrication plants, fabs as they're called, one of which is in Malta, so that's right. Why this impacts us so much. Most of them have been coming from Taiwan and China. And so as we had COVID causing those supply chains to have problems, people suddenly realized, hey, you know, if we went to if we end up in whether it's a trade war with China, a cold war with China, or a hot war with China, all of a sudden we're not going to have the chips we need for building anything in this country, let alone the military stuff. So there's been a move. This has been proposed for a couple years. It's been moving slowly through to actually put a bunch of money into solving this problem. And it really has two pieces. One is the manufacturing part, which will make lots of jobs. So, for example, one of the things that is very, very likely to come out of this will be that GlobalFoundries is allowed to build a second fab up in Malta. The first fab has about 3,000 employees. The new one they were talking about, something like well over 1,000 employees, plus, you know, the construction and things like that. So big boon to our economy. Right. Also has a use research piece because chips, you need to constantly be working on the next generation, right? And so there will be three major contenders for becoming what will be called the National Semiconductor some research center, I think it is, one of which is Albany.
Semitech.
Right. So
Semitech? Is that what it's called?
Semitech was an older one. This is sort of the replacement. Yeah. Well, Semitech was primarily industrial. This will be primarily research.
Okay.
University and companies working together to generate the next generation of chips.
So it could be here in Albany.
The thing that has been named at various times SUNY Polytechnic and now is probably going to merge back into SUNY Albany, plus MIT plus RPI, working with IBM, have one of the three largest competing proposals in that area. So it definitely could be something important to us locally. But even if we lose it, God forbid, the country will profit from a significant amount of research going into something that's really crucial to our future. And it's been an area where if you look at – I won't go into details, but if you actually look at, like, what percentage of our economy has been spent on research, on being the world leader that we are so proud of being, it's been going down and down and down. And it's been going down precipitously as when you look at China going up. So this CHIPS Act is not only directly on chips, which we need for the supply chain and manufacturing, but is also an effort to start revitalizing the U.S. scientific world, which is really important because we've had a very anti-science piece of one of our political parties that now has agreed that at least in certain areas, and at least when it comes to things that have to do with international competition, maybe we'd better stay in the game. So cool. I thought it was a pretty exciting act. And the fact that Schumer and others were able to negotiate something so big at a time of such political infighting, you know, there's a lot of stories about it. Notice that it passed, and then 3 hours later, they announced the Inflation Reduction Act. There's a lot of people who think that's not a coincidence. So, you know, it really was something that's been moving very slowly. It should have passed at least 2 years ago, if not last year. But it finally got through. It's a huge win for Biden's.
And for Schumer.
Well, it's right. But it's a win for... It's a win for Biden's belief that when we can bring together the two parties over something that's critical to our country, they can still work together. That was what he ran on. I think this is just the first example we've seen, or first big example we've seen, of that really panning out. So to me, cool. It's encouraging also on a kind of political side, and I hope people will realize that and give Biden a lot more credit for it than they seem to, just because, you know, again, it's this techie stuff, so what chips?
Hey, may I ask Alan, the political scientist in the room, is this going to get the political capital it deserves?
No.
No. Okay. Too techie.
And how much of that is because of what happened just yesterday and what happened, or just even if none of that had happened, it still wouldn't get?
Joe, I don't think the American public really does pay an awful lot of attention to the inside of politics and award wins to those who deserve them. I think that they stand off for the most part.
But if they see gas prices go down?
Gas goes down under $3 and he's in.
Yep. There you go.
Under $2, maybe. I don't know what the magic number
is. $2.20 and nothing more.
$2.20 and not a cent higher. All right, don't get them.
$2.20 and you can use the squeegee. My thanks, everybody, this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Alan, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
Very great to have you. Jim, always good to see you. Thank you very much. Rosemary, thank you. Mike, thank you for bringing your special guest, Josie, with you, your granddaughter, and hopefully you had a good time.
I did.
Have a great first semester in college.
Thank you.
And only tell us a portion of what you're doing.
But you can always tell your grandpa, even if your parents wouldn't approve.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.